Be given by Laura Good. The title of this presentation will be Testing the Wisconsin Phosphorus Index at the Field and Watershed Scales. Laura.
Thank you, Nathan. I work in the UW-Madison Soil Science Department on the Wisconsin P-Index as part of the Nonpoint Runoff Project, and my co-author, John Panuska, works in biological systems engineering, and he's responsible for development of many of the transport assessment components of our P-Index. Over the last decade, Wisconsin state agencies have put a lot of resources into helping the university develop the P-Index. And during the same period, there have been a number of projects over the state that have measured field edge runoff phosphorus yields. And more recently, there have been projects that have measured watershed phosphorus yields. And I'm going to talk about how this monitoring data is being used to test our P-Index. But first, I'm going to talk about how our P-Index works. It's an example of what some people call a pathway approach to P-Indexes. We estimate phosphorus loss runoff risk by estimating pounds of P per acre delivered per year to the nearest surface water. And we do this using data that is available during the nutrient management planning process to farmers or whoever's preparing a nutrient management plan. Because the purpose of our P-Index is to guide nutrient management at the field level. So I think all of the pathway type P-indexes have a basic format which looks at phosphorus delivered as the sum of dissolved phosphorus and sediment-bound phosphorus. And then sediment-bound phosphorus is calculated as a product of sediment mass times sediment P concentration, and some of the P indexes for the sediment P concentration look at a bioavailable P, but our P index looks at total P. And then dissolved P is calculated as the product of runoff dissolved P concentration and runoff volume. What's unique, I think, to our P index is that we use the equations Peter talked about from his apple model to estimate dissolved P losses from manure and fertilizer on the surface. And as he described, these equations take the soluble P application rate and also use the runoff coefficient, that's the runoff over precipitation after application, to estimate dissolved P losses from these applications. One difference between the way we use these equations and the way they're used in the apple model is that we apply them seasonally. And that's because the runoff coefficient in our frozen soil period, it tends to be very high, and we do not have winter manure bans in Wisconsin like New York. And by applying these equations seasonally, we can capture the heightened risk of manure phosphorus losses from winter applications. Like all pathway P-indexes, we use soil test information to estimate runoff dissolved P concentration and also soil total P concentration, which is used in estimating the sediment phosphorus concentration. What is probably not as common in P-indexes is that we estimate phosphorus changes at the soil surface from year to year with stratification from tillage and from amendments of and crop removal of phosphorus. And we do this using equations and coefficients that were developed for Wisconsin soils. For erosion, we do use Russell 2. NRCS has mandated that Russell 2 be used in P indexes for annual to get annual erosion. We use it a little bit differently than other P indexes because we retrieve from Russell 2 this sediment mass by particle size class. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. For rainfall runoff, we use a modification of the runoff curve number method with runoff curve numbers that are generated for each field by Russell 2, and then we apply the runoff curve equation to storm sizes with a frequency distribution that's based on 20-year, 24-hour rainfall records. And for frozen soil period runoff, we had a real problem because we were not able to find any existing method that we could adapt to put into our P index. And so John Panuska developed an empirical method based on flow records for 17 agricultural watersheds scattered around Wisconsin. So you probably have realized by now that our P index is computationally intensive, and its use in regular nutrient management planning by farmers and consultants is only possible because we've included it in nutrient management planning software that also includes Russell 2. And the same data inputs are used for calculating nutrient application rates and the P index and the calculating soil loss. I think many states have nutrient management planning software, and many states have the ability to combine their P indexes and soil loss and nutrient management planning calculations with the use of manure management planner from Purdue. Now I'm going to talk about the runoff monitoring and the field level data. We were able to compare P index results for 86 field years on 26 fields in Wisconsin that were monitored throughout a whole year for P yields. And here I'd like to acknowledge the people who did this runoff monitoring. It's really a trick in Wisconsin to monitor through the frozen soil period, and some of the people who provided this data are here. Bill Jokola, I see, and Dennis Bushes gave a presentation yesterday, and Carlos Bonilla, and we also received data from the Discovery Farms program. The fields that were monitored had a range of soil test P and texture. Most of them were silt loams, but there were some that were heavier and some that were a little sandier. A range of slopes and a range of managements. Some of these fields were on research farms, but the majority of them were on farms where the farmer and not the researcher was responsible for the management. So these were managed as typically by real farmers. 60 of the field years had manure applications, and in that group there were dairy manure, beef manure, compost, solid, liquid, incorporated, unincorporated manure applications in the fall, winter, spring, and summer. So that covered the whole gamut. There were not very many fertilizer applications on these, phosphorus fertilizer applications on these fields, and I'm not really sure why. But when you, one thing I want to point out about these, this data is that it was most of the management data I would call nutrient management planning quality rather than research quality information, because it came from farm records. And in some cases, the manure application rate information was not exact because they'd applied manure to part of the field, and then that manure source had run out, so the whole field wasn't covered, or they didn't have manure analysis, or they had an old manure analysis. And the soil test information was often our routine soil test information, which means that there was one soil test for every 5 acres every 4 years. When you compare the P index calculated for each of these years, field years, with actual monitoring data, there's a relationship, but it's not that strong. And this is what you'd expect, because they're really calculating different things. The P index is an estimate of phosphorus yields in an averaged weather year, and each of these fields had the weather for that year. And this becomes a little bit clearer here, where I've assigned a different colored symbol for every monitoring year. And you can see that the blue diamonds in 2004 represent fields that had very low residue cover during the spring of the year, when over much of the state there were storms with higher than average erosivity in the spring. In 2006, which is the red diamonds, it was droughty over much of the state, and there just wasn't much runoff, and you can see that those are the points are clustered more towards the y-axis without very much phosphorus delivery. So to take away some of this variability caused by the weather and to test our phosphorus source equations, we recalculated the P index using the measured sediment and the measured runoff from these sites. And we also used the measured precipitation in our seasonal dissolved P losses from manure and fertilizer equations. One problem we encountered in doing that is that none of these sites had frozen period precipitation measurements on site because of the difficulty of doing that accurately. So we had to use National Weather Service stations data, and sometimes those were rather far away. So I'm going to look at this comparison by component in our P index. So the dissolved phosphorus form that was measured across all of these sites was dissolved reactive phosphorus. And when you compare dissolved reactive phosphorus yields from these fields to our soluble P index, what you're really testing here is the equations that estimate soil surface P over time in our P index, and how that affects dissolved P, and also you're testing the equations that estimate a dissolved P loss from manure P or in fertilizer P application rates and the runoff coefficients. And in this case, we have a fairly good relationship, but there's still a lot of scattered. The slope is 0.83 and R squared is 0.56. There was one outlier, which is not included in the regression, and it represented a site that had a large frozen soil manure application, and the P index value for that application was very high, but this was because the runoff coefficient that was calculated using the National Weather Service station frozen soil precipitation was also very high, and I suspect that wasn't really correct for that site. So for the rest of this data, you're going to see we've removed that outlier. We compared the particulate P index to calculated with measured sediment mass to the particulate P loads, which we calculated as total P minus the dissolved reactive P over the year for each field. And when we're doing that, we're testing the equations that estimate soil total P and then estimate sediment P based on this soil total P and an enrichment ratio. And we have applied an enrichment ratio to the sediment by particle size class that comes from Russell 2. And for clay, we have an enrichment ratio of 3. For silt, we have an enrichment ratio of 1.8. And for the larger particles that come from Russell 2, we have an enrichment ratio of 0.8. And with that, using that system, we have a pretty good agreement. Have I been way behind on my, or am I going backwards? Sorry. So when you combine the particulate P and the soluble P index and look at the total P index compared to total P yields using the measured sediment and runoff, you get an R square of 0.91 and a slope that's fairly close to 1. And I think this indicates that if we are using methods for estimating erosion and runoff that are doing an adequate job of indicating the management effects on erosion and runoff, then we're doing an adequate job of indicating phosphorus management effects on phosphorus losses and runoff for each field. So our obvious next steps are to evaluate our erosion and runoff components, and we're also working on the edge of field to stream delivery components with using measured data and modeling. And I want to indicate why doing this kind of evaluation is so important in Wisconsin is because the use of our P index is evolving. And recently there have been runoff rules that were passed that require every field to maintain a rotation average P index value below 6. And within TMDL water sheds with adequate data, this target can be lowered. And to be able to set a target that was lower, they need to be able to answer the question, what does a target value on a field, which is an indicating the phosphorus delivery to the closest surface water, mean to water quality at the outlet when there's all these other fields in the watershed? And we have two paired watershed projects in Wisconsin that are trying to address questions like that. And the one that's been in place the longest is in the southwest Wisconsin. And aggregated P index values for the whole watershed have been calculated. And for both of these watersheds, and compared to the monitored yields, and the delivery ratio is about 40% for both of them. And one idea is that we will try to develop empirical delivery ratios using data like this that will be helpful in assigning reduction goals in water quality projects. And we're also using this project to look at whether we can achieve proportionate reductions by managing fields with high P index values. This is an initial distribution of phosphorus index values across the treatment watershed, and in theory, if we reduce all of the P index values that are higher than 6 to less than 6, we'll reduce phosphorus loads or phosphorus delivery to surface water in that watershed by 26%. So in summary, we use the same indexes as other, same inputs as other P indexes. We're doing an adequate job of assessing the effects of management on phosphorus delivery, and the quantification that we do allows us to test our P index at multiple scales. Thank you.